here today.
All right. My apologies.
Yes, yes. I saw that. I saw that.
All right. So what we'll do, because I'll be sharing some of these highlights as well at the program committee meeting, the program portion of the board meeting on Tuesday.
Great.
But let me just pull these up. Let me pull up our agenda. So when you see the first piece, can you see this?
Let's see. Yes.
Okay.
Well, I see the agenda.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm looking for? Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm going to pull up other pieces in between.
Okay.
All right. Up, 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 up. Sorry. Okay. So the first item is the response to CSDE during school and district closures. So once in mid-March, when the state pretty much shut down, CERC went into a virtual world and a response world to the State Department of Education. What ended up happening is most all of our programming activities are done in person.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to shift to everything to build and design virtual trainings. The State Department of Education does not use Zoom as a platform. They use Microsoft Teams.
Interesting.
What ended up happening when Zoom first came out, I guess there were some security issues that affected, so the state did not want that. But we, Ingrid Kennedy, totally supported the State Department of Ed's request for us to set up any kind of Zoom webinars or Zoom meetings for them. Because Zoom is a much more facile platform than Microsoft Teams to do big stakeholder group meetings, parent group meetings. And we can put people into different Zoom rooms. Teams doesn't really, it's limiting in that. So we've been doing a lot of Zoom meetings, facilitating a lot of stakeholder meetings for the State Department of Ed and the Bureau of Special Education, specifically around parent engagement, equity, racial equity, and students with disabilities. So in response, we've had to shift a lot of our, in addition to being doing a lot of project coordination for the state, we're also rebuilding some of our in-person trainings to make them all virtual. So we're doing a lot of professional development via Zoom.
I'm happy to hear that because I remember from our last call, you were unsure how that would work out. And I'm glad that, because I know that you all had a couple of contracts with several districts that were already in play, but you know, this kind of shifted that. So I'm glad to hear that that's still on course.
Well, actually, honestly, I think it's going to change the course of our work even once this pandemic is over. I think we're going to be doing a combination, as many districts are, and even colleges and schools are going to be doing a variety of different kinds of trainings and technical assistance sessions, either virtually or in person. But I think this whole pandemic has changed the way we're going to be doing things.
Yeah, I believe that as well.
Right now, we are also doing a big response to support the State Department of Ed around helping our families. We're doing some sessions with families to help them through some of the real challenges that they've experienced with this, with school closures. Mm. A lot of our families that we, you know, as we know, this pandemic elevated and increased the disparities tremendously.
Yes, yes.
We knew about them before the pandemic. This confirmed, if not elevated, the magnitude of the inequities.
Right.
And so that's what we're working. We're doing a lot of response and setting up some nice TA sessions, some virtual meetings to help support our families and supporting the district and supporting the State Department of Ed's request to do so.
What type of challenges are you, you know, kind of coming across? I'm curious, you know, we hear this, and I think it was last week, Carlene actually was participating in the virtual town hall hosted by the Black and Puerto Rican Caucus, and he was phenomenal. It was actually just a wonderful conversation talking about education, just the inequities that are happening across the state with regard to, you know, equal access and quality education for our communities. And so I'm wondering what type of issues and challenges are you all coming across?
The main challenges, and I'm on a lot of stakeholders' meetings with attorneys, advocates, different groups like AFCAMP and Connecticut Parent Advisory Council, CPAC, a lot of different groups. The main challenges we're seeing, number one, for not enough technology for some of our families.
Mm-hmm.
Families not having the internet access or enough hotspots. Students not actually engaging with the online learning. One of the districts I'm working with, 30% of the students have not signed on across.
Wow.
30%. So now you know who's in that 30%. It could be general education, special education, English learners, all variety of students, but 30%. Our big challenge that the state is experiencing right now are our students with disabilities. Many of our students with disabilities, specifically our students that have more significant needs, have had a very difficult time accessing online instruction because they don't have the attention span to sit in front of a computer. Or they're used to hand over hand, they're used to having manipulatives, they're used to having a variety of tools that are not available to them in this kind of a format.
Right.
So those are some of the major inequity, and some of our parents who really, families who've experienced a lot of trauma through this, whether they've been unemployed, whether they've been deaths in their family. So schooling is secondary to dealing with some of their own primary challenges. Some of our families dealing with some of the uncertainties about when the next paycheck's coming in. And we have to deal with a lot of our families across our state who can't put food on the table. When you think about hierarchy of needs, food, clothing, and shelter are the number one, you know? So those are some of the real challenges that the state has faced and with regards to education of all children.
Wow. Yeah. The food insecurity is something. I was on a call last week and, it was a couple of the educators in the greater Hartford area, and they were talking about some families who are having some challenges and are food insecure. So, yeah, thank you.
So really what we're doing right now is Ingrid, myself, and our consultants are almost on speed dial by the State Department of Ed, And when they need us to do something, we're there to help support them, because that's how we're funded. So, you know, they're our primary funder right now. So that's what we are doing. We're also taking our programming and have broken it down between now and June 30th, July 1 through September 1st, September 1st through December 31st, because we know those are three critical junctures that this pandemic is going to affect and hopefully begin to wane a bit so that we can get back into a more a sense of new normal. But right now we are planning for the most part our fall to be strictly virtual.
Okay.
Because right now, the number one, if I was going back into my role as a school principal, the number one challenge we have right now, besides the health and safety of our students and the, and our educators and the families, is we don't want to let any teachers out of their rooms to go to PD, because these teachers are going to be closing major achievement gaps.
Sure. Yeah.
You know? So that's where we're at. So all hands will be on deck. So whatever, what we're doing, I can even go down to the bottom. We're getting a lot of requests right now to do more like virtual technical assistance sessions with individual schools and teachers, specifically around differentiation. How are you? Because some of our teachers are going to have two grade levels, if not three grade levels, in a classroom.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I'm experiencing some of that of my own.
Oh, I bet you are.
You know, at this moment. So I certainly could see where that is like a heightened request, an immediate request for districts.
Because think about it. If you think about March, April, May, that's almost a quarter, a third of the year.
Right.
And if some students did not access any of their online teaching or any instruction, that's a third of the year that really has been lost.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, when you talk about the achievement gap, or, you know, just the educational gap, just in resources, I mean, it's totally going to be tremendous. As we try to kind of get back to a normal pace and a normal practice. So yeah, I mean, I would imagine that schools are trying to equip teachers to be able to go into the classroom prepared to kind of bring that together in a way that benefits everyone, right? But how do you do that? It's critically challenging, I'm sure.
And the other challenge is many of our families, including CERC families, including professors' families, is they're trying to manage their work life and teach online instruction to their kids.
Right.
And so there's been many families that have been very nervous about losing their jobs. So, you know, the kids' instruction has been, you know, has taken kind of a back seat in some, because it's been hard to manage both, you know? So those are some of the different things. Like tonight, Ingrid is going to be facilitating a stakeholders group on some thoughts and ideas about to provide to the governor's committee on transitioning back to school. I've been coordinating with the Bureau of Special Education three stakeholders groups with attorneys, advocates, parent groups about the state of special education, extended school year, what will summer school look like, how about our kids that should be graduating but missed the last 3 months of school, should they still graduate?
Mm-hmm.
All of those very complex issues and challenges, and yet we're still governed by the federal law of, you know, the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. So those are some challenges.
But what are some of the other requests that you are receiving from the state in terms of assistance in helping them kind of move this forward. I've been trying to keep a pulse on the commissioner's remarks as he's been appearing in several of these press conferences and virtual town halls. But what type of need do you find that CERC is addressing for the state?
Here's what I'm going to share with you right now. At the very beginning, hold on. Let me see the one. Right here. Can you see this one?
Yep.
When this first started, the State Department of Ed asked CERC to build a repository of materials, resources, and supports to help our educators and our families of kids with disabilities. Hmm. So every single week, we update this. Every one of these has every kind of link you could think of. All different links and supports. This one's about mental health, which is a big challenge right now for a lot of our kids. Social emotional learning, this is another very big. So we've built a lot of these tools and have actually found some evidence-based resources and tools that's all in one place.
Wonderful.
So we do this a lot. Equity, a lot of equity resources, a lot of digital tools to help educators and families. So this was our first major project that we got right on it. And this was already tweeted out by the commissioner. It's continually tweeted out, it's put on their Facebook page. So this is all updated regularly. Parent resources, activities to do with kids. So this was our big, big project that we did right at the very beginning that we continue to build upon.
And this is just critically, this is just invaluable. And I'm sure, for example, for parents who are trying to, you know, be home working their professional job, but then also have the responsibility of, you know, helping their kids, you know, move through online instruction. I mean, all of these resources are just wonderful, and I'm sure serves as a critical hub for parents and educators.
Another kind of a request we got was from Charlene for CERC to do a live webinar for superintendents and assistant superintendents around equity and the inequities during this COVID-19 pandemic. So strictly for central office, more of the higher executive officials within a school district. We are getting a lot of requests to facilitate, because we use Zoom, to facilitate a lot of meetings for the State Department. Actually, we just coordinated a stakeholders group with the commissioner, Charlene, Desi Nesmith, who's the Director of Performance, Deputy Director for Performance Office, and their legal counsel around special education inequities. So we're doing a lot of that kind of work.
Wonderful.
And we continue to be very responsive to the districts, because a lot of our district contracts stopped because school stopped.
Right.
So we're doing a lot of now more responding to individual requests. A big chunk of work that we're doing right now is this type of work. This was a big bucket of money that was given out to identified districts who had, based on their data and based on some of the disparities noted in their data. So CERC was asked by the State Department of Ed to coordinate this group of schools who were in this commissioner's network. So what we did is, CERC, under the, can you see this?
I still see the agenda.
Oh, hold on, sorry. Stop share. Okay, here it is. You see it now?
Let me see it. Okay, yep.
So these are a variety of schools that are involved in this identified commissioners network, and all different trainings that are done virtually that these schools can select between now and June 30th.
Mm-hmm.
All different ones about differentiation, leveraging specially designed instruction, using protocols to determine effective behavior supports, supporting the use of executive skills in the classroom, a variety of different topics that student focus groups. So these were built, and schools are now scheduled between now and June 30th, those selected schools, to participate in these trainings.
And these have been identified on what metrics and in what way?
Mainly around where the data is. A lot of it's around behavioral data and academic achievement data. We've identified the critical areas with the principals as to what these schools and schools, so they're really customized based on the individual schools. So we know where most of our data is. The data is around disproportionality, behavioral data, the number of suspensions and expulsions, specifically around kids of color, disabilities. We know that the achievement gaps with disabilities, and just some to build teacher consciousness around racial equity. Those are some of the real, and so our lead consultant, Evan McKnight, has been working very closely with the principals and identified these topics. And then we have selected consultants to deliver these topics virtually or in live sessions. Yeah, so it's pretty good.
Right.
And that has to be done because the way funding is in Connecticut, most of our funding has to be done and used by June 30th.
Right.
That money goes back to the federal government.
Right.
So those are them. So that's the Commissioner's Network. So we've been very busy. And then this, we are in the, Ingrid and I are in the process right now with our fiscal office to build our budget for next year. So I meet tomorrow to finalize with the bureau chief all of our IDEA programming activities, and then we build a budget with the State Department of Ed in order to start our work for July 1, because our budgets only run till June 30th.
Do you foresee any challenges given our new normal in terms of going into 2021? Do you foresee any challenges in being able to fully fund what you have slated?
I don't think, no, because I think what we're going to be doing is we're going to do like a level funded budget like we did. We've already been in touch with our State Department of Ed people. What may change is the way some of the programming is delivered.
I see.
It's going to be probably the first half of the year, it's going to be probably virtual.
Okay.
But for the most part, we're going to keep with the same level funded budget. That's the plan, at least. And then, you know, because we've got to get this rolled out to the board for approval. And that's why we have a budget meeting tomorrow to get this all developed in preparation for the board meeting on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot has been put on hold because of this pandemic. So it's, you know, everything went into, even from the State Department of Ed, everyone went into response mode, and we taking each day as it comes versus thinking, you know, moving forward to July 1 and thinking about the new year.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I was just curious if you felt that something was going to take a hit given the new normal. So I was wondering if you felt that any of your programming going into the new year was in jeopardy, or anything that we needed as a board to be attentive to as we consider what you'll be proposing.
Right now, I don't anticipate, but we'll probably know more tomorrow when we meet.
Yeah.
We also have, you know, our funding is also quite diversified because we still have the Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services grant, and we are entering into a grant with the, it's not actually a grant, it's a memorandum of agreement with the State Department of Ed to do level up work, which is for our 16 through 21 year olds to help support the state, the Department of Aging and Disability Services, to support that population of students with disabilities. So the okay. Bureau chief wants, so that's a big, well over $1 million grant.
Wow, okay.
MOA. We're just waiting for the MOA to be signed for that work, but we're ready to go. I'll be coordinating that grant with the state, and we've got 11 of our staff members committed to that work.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so it's good. And then really what the last bit of our programming is, we're still being asked a lot to deal with and to address racial equity challenges that our districts are seeing. Again, this pandemic has elevated and really exposed even a greater
yes.
need for racial equity training and really building and developing educator consciousness around race. So we're doing a lot of work with that. And that work will continue. We actually were in, CERC was noted in the commissioner's memorandum that went out to all the superintendents that CERC was one of the key partners with the RESC Alliance in helping address some of the major inequities that schools are facing around this whole pandemic. And so CERC was right in that memorandum from the commissioner. And that's the and I'm gonna tell you, that's the commissioner's charge, is yeah. how to address the real racial, cultural inequities that are happening in our schools.
I mean, we can't navigate through this time and not have that be a priority. I mean, we just can't. And so I appreciate the way that I see him really amplifying that when I see him talk, and the town halls that I've seen him participate in. I really appreciate him addressing that very honestly. That, you know, we have to not only address that this does exist in our state, but then we also have to be proactive about equipping our schools and making sure that they're ready to be able to meet this challenge head on. So I really appreciate that. And so, you know, really thrilled to hear that CERC is a part of this work and doing the work. So wonderful.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting to see CERC's name. Ingrid has done a phenomenal job really, really being a champion for CERC, but really being very collaborative with the commissioner and colleagues around the work that we can do to support his efforts.
Right.
And Charlene's efforts to address some of these inequities. Teaching at Central, I teach a class in the master's program, and just all the emails. This whole pandemic has really exposed a lot of the implicit and explicit bias that
absolutely
has really, because I get all the emails. I'm in, and so there's actually a big webinar. I signed up for it about this, about, you know, the implicit explicit biases that are addressing instructors and professors within this.
Really?
Online.
Who's hosting it? I'm interested in attending it myself.
Yeah, so we're doing that. Yeah, it's pretty good. So that's pretty much what we've been doing from now. So really our major projects now are getting our 2021 budget, programming budget done, completing the commissioner's network activities. We still are carrying out a lot of our IDEA activities, but building virtual ones.
Okay.
And being very responsive. We kind of, you know, if the State Department of Ed asks us to do something, we try to turn it around in 24 hours. To be very responsive.
A lot of pressure. You all are under.
Well, it's when Ingrid and I share with, you know, we got to turn this around. But that's the way it works. This has created a, you know, it's like minute by minute things change due to all these uncertainties. And what might be right the first part of the day is wrong the next. At the second half of the day, and instead of making the adjustments. So these are the highlights that I'm going to be sharing on Tuesday with some of, you know, what I shared with you about some of the work that we've been doing in our role as a quasi-public, but as one of the key stakeholders to support the State Department of Education's efforts, who really funds us to do this work.
I mean, it just sounds like you all hands are on deck.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, everyone is just working so hard and just doing such important work. You know, I honestly, on our last call and how, you know, as everything was unfolding, the equity piece has been at the forefront of my mind, the work that I do and I know the, you know, things that I have had to change, the concessions, but then also accommodations that I have made just for my own classes. You know, I've actually gone into some of the families of my own, you know, just to make sure that, you know, we are not leaving anybody behind. And so also working alongside with my colleague, and you know, right? And so we're just one small department at one school. So I just can only imagine the workload that you all are carrying to try to provide these resources, all of this professional development training for our schools across the state. So it's just, you know, just kudos to just everyone just doing the work and it's because it's so important. And I'm just so glad that CERC is part of it.
Well, and the other key for us is we were on the same learning curve as many of our teachers and our college staff because we're used to teaching face to face. We're used to teaching. So this was a learning curve for us to use and learn how to use Zoom. And we really banded together and with our tech people really have become masterful at how to really recreate in-person trainings like you would a course to making it a virtual engaging type of an experience.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say I was able to pop in on one of the focus groups for the African American and Puerto Rican curriculum. And I mean, it was a phenomenal discussion. It was engaging. It was very just well facilitated. I mean, I have to say that some of my Zoom calls and trainings that I've been a part of have not been as exciting. Some of the meetings, but I mean, the focus group was wonderfully just put together, and I just really, and just enjoyed observing and it just seems that everyone was engaged, and it was just great. And so again, it's just a testament of the great work that you all are doing.
Yeah, that group, because that was a heavy charge given to CERC by the legislation to really coordinate the development of that Black and Latino curriculum and really be able to, not a beat was missed, even with this pandemic. They just shifted their in-person focus groups to virtual, and Michelle and Nitsa and Paquita and Wanda have really done a great job.
Oh, phenomenal job.
Getting that done and creating it in a way that at least it was engaging and organized and in a way that the work could continue to get the input they need to get the curriculum written.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
That's a tight timeline they're following.
Absolutely.
So. All right.
I have a question.
Yes.
I have a question. I know that on our last meeting, I know that the conference was canceled, and so I was wondering, is there an idea to do something virtually with the CERC conference that was supposed to be taking place
today. Yeah, the systemic race. Jen, do you know anything about that?
I don't know. I haven't heard much about trying to do something virtual. I know that Janet had sent out a quick Zoom chat today saying that she was thinking about ways to do next year's. But I don't know if they're going to do anything in between.
Okay. I was just wondering.
It's so sad because, like you said, it was going to be today, and I thought about it yesterday and was like,
Brittany, but did you go last year?
Did you go last year, Brittany?
No, I ended up having to go out of town at that same time. And so when it came around this year, I was like, yes, I'm joining the board. I'll definitely be able to attend. So it's really interesting because I feel, given that all that you shared, Steve, that I think our conversation about racism and how this all plays out on a very structural and institutional level, I feel is going to be so much more enriched the next time we come back to the table to host it. So I think that'll be interesting. And so I didn't know if there was an idea of perhaps looking at a virtual convening of some sort in the near future. But I was just curious.
And we could even ask at the board meeting on Tuesday and see if there has been any talk that I'm not privy to. So
knowing that conference, Brittany, we could, you almost have to be there to experience it.
Sure.
Be there to feel it, because we had multiple keynote speakers, awards, musicians, student actors and actresses, multiple breakout rooms. We had the full convention center.
Yeah. Um,
So
no, I heard it was phenomenal. I've had a couple of people ask me, you know, are we gonna post it in the fall or something? I said, you know, I don't know.
So, right.
Yeah, but
well, we just made the decision 2 weeks ago that the State Department of Ed normally does this for that CERC coordinates with the division director for the Bureau of Special Ed. We've had 500-600 people in the room, all directors of special education, supervisors. It's called Back to School Annual Meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Doing it virtually this year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, the thing that's different about this conference versus the Dismantling Racism is ours, the one that the State Department puts on, is very much more information giving. It'd be like you know, people getting up and just giving you information. It's
right.
Which is probably easier to do than say the Dismantling Racism, which is a much more experiential kind of a
sure.
Kind of a session. So
sure. Interesting. Well, yeah, no, you know, this all sounds just, you know, again, I just, you know, can't state it enough. It's really so important and just so grateful for the work that you all are doing. And, you know, happy to see that, you know, CERC is not, you know, just right in the thick of it all.
No. Yeah, we've been, you know, running every day to help respond to some of the major challenges that the State Department of Ed is experiencing with some of their schools, their families, their educators, to support this whole online teaching and supporting our families during this very challenging time.
Are you aware of where, just perhaps maybe the impact that even the work that CERC is having beyond Connecticut, you know, are you all, perhaps some of your colleagues in other states, are they facing the similar challenges? Are you finding that the strategies and some of the programming that you all are carrying out here looks, you know, similar or different in other states, well, surrounding states?
Well, I think from a national perspective, moving to online instruction, most of our states are experiencing some of the similar challenges with regards to the instruction piece in a virtual or distance learning piece. Some of our states across the country aren't dealing with the racial disparities that we deal with. And our state is probably one of the states has one of the highest achievement gaps.
Right.
across the country. So add that layer. You know, it's one thing having challenges with the distance learning and teachers getting used to teaching in a Google platform or like a Blackboard platform, but then add all the other inequities. Add the number of students that can't even access our own English language.
Right.
You know, how about the students that don't have the internet or the computer access? All of that. I'm not sure some of our states across the country don't have some of those experiences. You know, the rural parts of the country do, you know, some of our rural districts. But we, you know, I think we, along with a number of the other states that have similar racial and ethnic profiles as us do, probably have the same challenges.
Sure, yeah.
The other thing is, the big challenge across the country is helping deal with the emotional stress and toll that this has taken on teachers. This has been teaching this way all day, there is neurological science to Zoom fatigue, to online teaching.
Absolutely. Fatigue. Absolutely.
And I think that there's some teachers that are feeling really, you know, they want to get back into face-to-face, but at the same time, I think that they're very discouraged that they couldn't reach some of their kids.
Absolutely. And, you know, as you know, as you're talking, I'm wondering what type of data, are you aware of any type of data collection that's taking place on the state level from the State Department of Education on some of these key areas, right? So, you know, as you all are surveying, you're training, you're interacting with educators and families, are you aware, is the state tracking some of this?
I'm sure they are. The other challenge is, the biggest challenge that we have seen is from a educator's, is the type of progress monitoring that that teachers have found very difficult. Mm-hmm. How do you produce, you know, they're used to doing, you know, running records or performance assessments or
right.
in school. And so the actual monitoring of progress and performance has been a very big challenge across